Before I proclaim the good news, I have also some news that there is a Cadillac parked in the street that's running, locked and running, the engine is running. So if you happen to be that person, we'll read the gospel for you at some other point and you can go and take care of that. This is the gospel according to St. Matthew from the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. As I said at the beginning of worship, this season of days after Epiphany is meant to be a season of enlightenment. Coming right after Christmas, it's a time to have our eyes opened, to see more clearly who Jesus is among us, to have our ears opened, to hear more clearly, maybe with more attentiveness, these gospel stories, waiting for epiphanies, waiting for insights, fresh perspectives. And what that means, of course, is that we have to begin this time with a certain amount of humility. In this information age, when scientific and technological advances give us so much knowledge and information, we have to remember that spiritual enlightenment is not something that we can just produce on our own, or find on the internet, or get from any of these other great advances that we make. And with that in mind, I'm thankful for this gospel story today, because it introduces us to spiritual seekers who seem to understand that very clearly. St. Matthew says that they come from the east, which means that they came from the part of the world that was the first century leader in nearly all scientific and technological advances. When my ancestors were still trying to fashion tools out of iron, the advanced people of the East were perfecting mathematical equations and developing an Arabic system of writing that would be borrowed by millions of people after them. In architecture, in medicine, in nearly all other forms of scientific research, they were the information capital of the world. Yet, out of their midst come these magi. We usually focus on the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that they bring to the Christ child, but I'm struck most of all today by the spiritual gifts that they bring to all of us who hear their story. To begin with, I'm struck by the fact that they were willing to admit that they didn't know everything. By the world's standards, they had more going for them than anyone else in this Christmas story that we've heard. But they were not content with that. They knew that to discover the riches of God, they needed to be open to divine guidance and revelation. Secondly, they had the courage to set out in faith, not knowing where they would go. They weren't like the narrow-minded Herod, who we also meet in the story today. Like so many of us, he's the one who stays right where he is and says, "Bring me evidence that Jesus exists, and then I'll deal with that." Admittedly, he was not on any kind of spiritual quest that we can imagine. But he does use language that's close to home for a lot of people today. And finally, I'm struck by the fact that these magi knew how to ask for directions when they were lost. When the star vanished from sight, which happens so often in our spiritual journey, they weren't afraid to go to someone else and say, "Can you help us find the way?" If I were to describe the spiritual gift that I see in all of this, it is the gift of humility. More than anything else, the magi that we meet here are humble people. When they find a helpless child in the simple home of peasants, they kneel down before him and they worship him. The Greek word for worship that St. Matthew uses here is actually a very graphic one, which implies falling down on your knees and touching your forehead to the ground in a sign of reverence. And to me, that's one of the greatest mysteries of this story. How in the world did these powerful people look at a creature wrapped in such vulnerability and see a king or see God? How did they look at a child such as this and see a power greater than their own? We can ask questions like that because we know how difficult it is to see God in unexpected places. And we know too that epiphanies such as this just don't come through us. They can't be manufactured. They have to come as gift. A few days ago, I made a short pilgrimage out to visit Mike Trigstad in Gig Harbor. Mike is one of our staff members here at St. Mark's, who is in hospice care at a center there. Night was falling as I arrived, and I went to the front desk again, because sometimes he has moved to different places, and I went to ask them where he could be found. And they sent me down a long hallway until I came to a room at the end, a darkened room with a curtain in the middle. And I slowly opened the curtain and found Mike there sleeping in the bed where he is every hour of the day. And when I awakened him, Mike smiled, and he greeted me with his gentle voice and touch. He's physically weak, probably weaker than he's been at any other time in his life, and he depends on other people to care for him in ways that would humble the proudest ones among us. As we talked, the conversation turned to how we can give back to the people who are so good to us. "I just want to be a light to other people," Mike said. The unlit room was getting dark, and I could just see the outline of his face. But at that moment, I was given an epiphany, which is still very, very vivid in my memory. As clearly as I've ever seen it before, I saw the presence of God incarnate in this brother who was in the bed beside me. And it inspired me to read that text from Isaiah that we heard this morning. And as I did that out loud for Mike and for me, the revelation became even more meaningful. "Arise, shine," Isaiah says, "for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. For me, the room that we were in was transformed into a little house in Bethlehem. And I imagine that everyone who came there were magi, whether they knew that or not. Lift up your eyes and look around, Isaiah says. They all gather together. They come to you, and you shall see and be radiant. As we wander together into the days ahead, I pray that you and I will have more and more epiphanies like that. God is here among us. And as Mike would attest, each discovery of that joyful truth is a gift that inspires us to want to give back in any way that we can. In your case, too, it may be a desire to be light for other people or to worship God in all that you say and do. Whatever the case, I'm just happy to be a pilgrim with you, a companion with you in this walk of faith. And I look forward to seeing where the star stops next. Thanks be to God. Amen.